Hi, you're listening to a podcast brought to you by the teaching team at New Life in North Lincolnshire. New Life is committed to helping transform people and transform places through the love and power of Jesus Christ. We hope you, in some small way, will be blessed and transformed by this message.
Well, I don't know about you, but I saw something in the corner earlier on that said there's hot food later. So I was like, okay, just a few thoughts then. Wonderful. No, really, really privileged to be able to share with you today. I've got just a picture coming up saying it's hi from the Wades. Dave would love to be here, but he's currently serving in team in our church in Lincoln. So myself and Dave have been married for 23 years. I mean, good grief. It's a long time to be married, isn't it? We've got Sophia, who's 15, Daniel, who's 13, Isabel, who's 11, and we've got two foster children at home as well, who are brothers who are 7 and 8 years old. So I just am so pleased to be here this morning because I just had this phrase going in my head of it's a new day for new life. It's a new day for new life. And we are here to celebrate this new chapter, and how apt that it's spring as well. It's time for new life. And just that sense that actually the work, do you know what? Jesus has been doing a work in Scunthorpe for centuries. And there's this privilege now where there's this team that are like, okay, well, now it's our turn. We've been placed here. But isn't it amazing that God's been doing a work way before? And when these guys are old and grey and ready to hang up their, you know, ministry stockings, they'll be able to hand on to the next generation. There's that sense that Jesus will continue to do his work. I've known Dina all of her life, and I've known Mark for most of his life. And what you have here is a powerhouse couple. When I pray for them, I see a tree. The roots go down deep with Mark's passion for the word of God, rooting everything in truth. And then the branches reaching high and wide with the fruit of Dina's passion to build and serve community. And a verse that popped out of me this week as I was praying for them was from Jeremiah 17. It says this, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." You have a brilliant leadership team here, guys. And it's really, really exciting. Dan and Elaine are the gifts that you bring as well. It's so, so brilliant. And we're living in really interesting days, aren't we? It's not easy to lead church in the days that we are living in. Some would call it we're living in post-Christian days, and actually Tim Keller, the late Tim Keller, has actually said in the past, he probably refers it to pre-Christian days. And I'd rather stick with that if I'm honest, because I'm not sure we've really seen the church in all of her glory as the bride of Christ. And I'm excited, and I feel like the Holy Spirit just wants to whisper a few thoughts to you this morning and commission you. You know, Romans 8 talks about that all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. And it says, with eager hope, creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. We can see, can't we, as we look around, you don't have to read much news to suddenly realize the earth is groaning. It's groaning. We're having tsunamis, the climate, we're having so many things where the earth is saying, this is not the way things were meant to be. And I don't know about you, but I walk around my community and I walk around my city and I feel my spirit within me groaning, saying, this is not the way God intended this to be. And so we are groaning, but it says something amazing, that we have an eager hope. And I'm so excited about that, because actually, when you think about the despair that's around, what is the antidote to despair? It's hope. It's so, so powerful. And so we're now in this place between Genesis 2 and Revelation 21. Everything is broken, including ourselves, if we're honest. But we have this eager hope. And I was just really encouraged. Last summer, I spent a bit of time on sabbatical, and I was reading through John. And where Jesus talks about, he was comforting his disciples, and I love the fact we're celebrating Palm Sunday here today. You know, I can imagine Jesus riding on a donkey, and when I was younger, I used to imagine what a celebratory thing that would have been. But as I imagine it in my spirit, I can just see Jesus' face. The heartbreak of these people shouting, Hosanna! And him knowing that 5 or 6 days later, they'd be shouting, crucify him. Wow. And so Jesus talks, before this happens, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says these words in John 14, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And then Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how do we know the way?" I've got to be honest, I think I'll probably be a bit of a Thomas. I don't get it. Where are you going? Where, how are we meant to be? And Jesus says these words. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Wow. I am the way. Friends, people need to know the way today. They absolutely do. And we have been guilty for years of holding back that eager hope because we are fearful of people ridiculing us, maybe thinking we've got this faith as a crutch. Why are we holding back this eager hope when people are desperate to know the way? There was a massive piece of research done recently where it says that Christians have lost their confidence to invite friends to church. Only 2% of us feel confident to invite our friends to church. And yet when they did the massive piece of research with so many unchurched people, 86% of those asked said they would go if someone invited them. Can you see what's happening here? We've lost our confidence with this eager hope. And people are crying out for the way. I believe COVID, absolutely not caused by God, but absolutely an opportunity for God to move in our nation, because there's been a shift in people's thinking. What is life really all about? I think there's an openness, friends, to hold out the way. We have been through some challenging times as a nation and as the world, but we want to see people taken from darkness into light. We want to crack open this baptismal and say, do you know what? We're going to have baptisms every single Sunday because we cannot get through the amount of people who are being taken from darkness into light. We need to hold out the way, friends. We need to be able to say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not smart programs. It's not this. It's not this. Jesus. And all the other stuff is so, so needed, but it's Jesus. We panic. Well, how can I invite that friend to church? Because if they come along, I can't imagine how they're going to change their life to look like what a Christian should look like. So we get all in our heads about it and we fear about inviting people. How about you do what I'm trying to do right now and just realize that you're not actually the Holy Spirit? That's actually God's job. That's not my job. Some of us have an over sense of ownership here that we're going to have to change people's lives. Not our job. Wow, how releasing is that? All I've got to do is say, you know, Barbara, meet Jesus. There we are. Step back. Let's see God do something in someone's life. And so I just think there's something that God is wanting to do through his church. It's going to feel messy. There's going to be questions. But friends, let's see Jesus do his thing. So I am the way. He also said, I am the truth. We live in a world where truth is fluid. You cannot question my truth. I cannot question your truth. What is truth? That actually sounds like it's been a modern thing. It's actually right back to when Jesus, you know, what is truth? And we, as a church in the nation, are pretty biblically illiterate when it comes to really understanding the truth. I love it when Mark, he might not remember this, I think he did something called Bible Boot Camp. He came to our church, this was years and years ago, and he started to unpack how to handle the Word of God. Now, bearing in mind, we've been pastoring for 10 years already at this point, and people came out of that going, oh, finally get now what the Bible's about. Try not to take it personally. But there's something of the gift of the Ephesians 4 teacher that is within Mark that brings the Word of God to life. Friends, if we are not building our lives on this, we can be swayed by anything, absolutely anything, shouting Hosanna one day and crucify him the next, because we are being swayed buy everything and anything. I've heard people say, well, I agree with that person because I love the way that he talks publicly. Well, so in podcasts we trust, I think is pretty much where we've got to as the church in this nation. Let's start to figure out the Bible for ourselves. Yes, listen to good teachers. Yes, start to, but throw some questions as well. And say, I don't get this bit. Can you just unpack that for me? I don't understand that book. I'm trying to avoid that book because it's too concerning. You know, just try at least to keep going with it because we have to build our lives on this. Open Doors said recently about the movements they are observing in our nation and the concern that they have for the future persecution of the church. And there were three things that they said the church has to get right in this next season. We have to understand the importance of meeting in small groups because the big group might not always be possible. We have to have a healthy spiritual rhythms in our Christian walk and understand how to correctly handle the word of God for ourselves. People might not always be there to spoon feed you. You have to get used to what this says over your life. And thirdly, we have to have a correct theology of suffering. In this world, you will face many troubles. Promise from Jesus. So it's so important that we understand that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth. And my last point is this. Jesus is the life. Well, Jesus was physically here on the earth. He was starting to usher in the kingdom of heaven. And some of us think all we've got to do is hang on in there and one day all things will be well. Actually, Jesus will said, no, kingdom starts now. It starts now. We usher in the kingdom through our lives. John 10:10, what did he say? The thief comes to kill, steal and destroy. And Jesus says this, but I have come that they may have life and life to the full. Jesus taught us to pray to God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You can switch that in Scunthorpe as it is in heaven, in my neighborhood as it is in heaven. That is what we can believe right now that Jesus wants to do. But we need to live our lives as the church in this understanding. Someone once said that the church should be a hospital for sinners, not a museum for the saints. If we took this analogy seriously, friends, and I know I'm actually feel like I'm preaching to the converted a little bit here, in the sense that we want to be a hospital for those who just need to find healing. We took this analogy seriously once and had a creative afternoon at church of looking at how the church should function in the same way as a hospital. We need a cardiology department dealing with issues of the heart. We need an intensive care for those who come into church in a fragile way. We need x-rays examining deep-rooted issues. We need general surgery allowing God, the great surgeon, to remove blockages from our lives. We need nutrition, dietary department, ensuring you're feeding yourself on the right stuff. Occupational therapy, helping people get back on their feet, and a maternity unit for a new birth. If I was heavily pregnant and in 9 months of, you know, ready to give birth, I wouldn't be taken to a hospital that has no maternity unit. That'd be wrong. So why would God bring people to us if we're not ready to see new birth? I just want to encourage you this morning and just share a testimony to finish. This has been our journey over the past 19 years in Lincoln. We changed our name to Bridge Church because we felt our mandate was to be a bridge in our city between church and community, but also between church and church. I was so fed up of us over here doing our little thing, the church down the road doing their little thing. And I thought, wow, imagine if the church got together and took their mandate seriously. New Life Scunthorpe has something to bring to the table in the town. This is what you will bring. And so we began to pray together with other Christians in the city, and our hearts were breaking. In 2018, we realized our suicide rate was the highest nationally. On our watch, our city's heart was breaking and didn't feel like life was worth living. That broke God's heart, so it should break our hearts. So we sit there and we pray and we say, God, what do you want to do? And we realize that individually, God had given us all different dreams about the church being the light on in the dark of a city. And so we spent time with the NHS and said, let's partner together. And now in 2020, we launched something called the Nightlight Cafes, where every single night of the week, the church has its light on. And people can find somebody to talk to, have a coffee with, when life is just feeling that little bit too hard. What I love is that that was in God's heart for many, many years, and it was a seed in our city. The Samaritans were birthed out of Lincoln. Chad Vara was a priest in one of our estates on St. Giles in the 1930s, and a young girl took her own life because she started her period and nobody had explained what that was. She thought she was dying, she took her own life. And Chad Vara, as the priest of that parish, he said, little girl, you have no idea, but you've changed my life. And from that point onwards, he birthed the thought of Samaritans. There must always be someone to talk to. And that's a seed in our city. Now, Scunthorpe will have your own seeds. What has God done? Because you water some of those seeds and you'll see something spring up. And that's something so, so important as you look to this next season. What is God already doing in Scunthorpe? But what has he done many generations ago that he wants to bring back to life? Because what's incredible is when we take what God's blueprint is, these nightlight cafes has now gone national because it's God's solution to the cry of a heart of a place. God hears the cries all day, all night. Every cry of man, woman, child in this town. And he wants his people to go, we hear the cries as well. So God, with your unlimited resource and our complete availability and obedience, let's see what you want to do. And let's be just amazed. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Friends, let's live like that in our own lives, through our families, but let's start to knock down the walls of the church and say, what does that look like when we see the transformation of an entire town, one for God? Do you mind if I just pray for you? Is that okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this new day. You are such a good, faithful God. And what you begin, you bring to completion. So the work that you have already begun in this beautiful town, we say now is the time to pick up our tools and say, okay, God, we're ready. We're available. What is it that your heart is beating for? What is it that you're wanting us to do? And I just pray that every single person in this church will see their part that they have to play. That the story of how God has transformed their life will be a key to unlock someone else's. That their story, the pain, everything, there'll be a purpose in it that you can use. So Lord God, we just declare right now that this is a new day for new life, a new day for Scunthorpe, and we look in wonder at what you're going to do. In your mighty name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from New Life in North Lincolnshire. To find out more, do visit us online at newlifechurch.uk, or why not pay us a visit? We'd love to see you.